So yeah, I just wanted to know briefly how you feel about everything, what the last couple of days have been like for you.
I've got a lot of people sending me advice on how Science Magazine could be improved.
What advice are you getting?
Well, just that I'm actually, they're sending me offers of advice. I haven't been able to get it yet because I haven't had time. But there are a lot of people who have ideas, and I guess basically I have my basic philosophy is that 1,000 minds are better than 10 or whatever, and we need to. I would like to open up Science Magazine to getting suggestions from many people about what we might do that would make it even more effective. Recognizing that it's already a great magazine, and you know, that's certainly a wonderful opportunity to build on what it's already doing. But science changes rapidly. Our ways we communicate and young people communicate changing rapidly. And so if any institution like Science Magazine or the National Academy of Sciences that I was involved in before, we don't constantly... if we're not constantly open to change and new ideas, then of course we become less relevant.
What do you think are the biggest challenges that you're going to be facing as the editor?
Well, many. the world, the fundamental fact is the world needs much more influence of science and scientists on the way people think. But the world suffers a great deal from irrationality, and in the broadest sense, spreading science and scientists around the world and strengthening the respect that scientists have and actually changing the way scientists think about their responsibilities, because, of course, if you think of your responsibility only as doing your, 80 hours a week of research in your laboratory, then, of course, if everybody does that, then science can't really spread the way I would like it to spread. So all these kinds of changes that are needed by both the United States and the world present a challenge to the National Academy of Sciences. I tried to deal with that when I was president for 12 years, but it's an unending battle, and we are far from succeeding. And now I view Science Magazine as just another platform and institution, another great one that can be part of this continuing struggle to change the reach of science. Science, I mean, it's very hard to be talking about two kinds of science. The second time kind of science I'm talking about is reach of science, is science with a small s.
Okay. All right, yeah, no, not science, the journal.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. Yeah. It's very hard to speak about this.
Did you have any hesitation in accepting the position? Because I know that something I've heard from people... Yeah, you did.
Well, I was asked originally by a search firm, and I was not interested. But I guess they knew that that's the same thing I told the Academy 9 months before they offered me the job. But my basic hesitation is that, I'm almost 70 years old, and... how much energy do I have to put into something new? I have a full-time job at UCSF as a professor. I've been teaching. I've been enjoying that. In fact, the one thing I missed in Washington was extensive contact with young scientists. So I don't want to give up that. And I would have never taken the Science Magazine job if it was a full-time job, because I really value these interactions with both young scientists and with the frontiers of science with a small s.
Right.
And I think when they appointed Dan Koshin as the first half-time science editor-in-chief, there was a recognition that having people in this position who are simultaneously closely embedded in a major research university is a great advantage to the magazine. It brings something to Washington that otherwise might be missing. The magazine has already a great staff, but my role will be to connect them to the best of science, and not only that, but to the fact that science is changing so fast, so rapidly. And are many issues that concern how science interacts with the public and how it is viewed by the public and how it influences the public, but there are also a second set of issues that Science Magazine is even more intimately at the center of, it, which is the values that scientists have about judging each other's work, about how we publish, how we do peer review, how we review each other's grants and what gets funded, and all those issues, as you certainly know, are in constant need of monitoring and improvement. And so one of the first things I like to do, of course I don't start on March 1st, so I'm not going to do anything until then, is to look carefully at how we do our peer review and whether we can, I'd like to think about whether we could write a coherent description of what we expect peer reviewers to do and not to do that might be useful, for, of course, for Science Magazine, but that might, because of the stature of science, if we make prominent notice of it, also influence the way other journals look at peer review. Well, or our guidelines for reviewers, for example, you know, what's important about reviewing? I have a sense, but this needs to be confirmed by evidence, that both when we review research grants on study sections at the National Institutes of Health, for example, which I'm very familiar with, and when we review papers, we tend to look for possible defects, and instead of getting a hard look at the big picture and trying to encourage more innovative and interesting work, that's certainly true for grant review. The question is, how does it apply to manuscript review? There's certainly some sense that reviewers ask for every experiment they could think that hasn't been done, which is not, to my mind, the real role of reviewers, because today there's so many new methods that there in so many ways you could redo your experiments to give yet another test. I don't think that has been very productive in many cases. It leads people to do, have their postdocs and students do another year's worth of work in the hope of getting their paper published in a prominent place. And if that happens, and it doesn't really add to the science in a big sense, then it's not a productive activity. And, I'd rather have those postdocs and graduate students move ahead and do something new rather than to try to cross every T that's possible. And I think this is becoming a major problem, I think, because there are so many new methods, so that anything you want to publish could have been done. You get three other ways to look at the same thing, and I think it's very important that that we not overdo that.
You have so much great experience, like you've just mentioned, with working with NIH and their peer review that you can bring to your new position. I'm wondering if there are some things that you will have to do that you don't have experience with, that you are going to have a bit of a learning curve over.
I'm sure I'll have a learning curve, but it's going to be much less a learning curve if I hadn't been at the Academy, because I think in many ways the roles of the Academy overlap the roles of Science Magazine. Being a strong advocate for science, and so all those things. So I ask people who want to know what my agenda will be for science to look at my last annual meeting speech from the Academy, which is, I have a website, by the way, which says all
what
the,
it is? So
www.ucsf.edu/Alberts. So if you go there, you'll find all my annual meetings. Because the last one in 2005, it was basically, it's called Summing Up. And those are my thoughts from 12 years of Academy president about what we need to do and what we need to do better. And I think, to a large extent, many of those goals can be furthered by activities. activities at Science Magazine. Now, which ones will be remains to be seen, but, you know, for example, Don Kennedy has, in a way I really strongly support, introduced science education as a much more major theme in the journal, and that's certainly something I want to continue, perhaps expand.
Do you have so many other positions already. Is there anything you're going to have to give up or cut back
on?
Yes.
I am going to send it. I'm just working on a form letter to lots of other, as you probably can see from my CV, I'm on perhaps 15 or 20 nonprofit boards.
Yeah.
And I'm going to have to write them and tell them I can't really do this anymore, most of them.
And something I've heard from other people is that the strain of commuting between the East and West Coast became pretty difficult for Don Kennedy. Is this going to add to your commuting time, and do you think that's going to be an issue for you?
Yes. Well, what Don has done, and what I talked about when I talked to the people at AAAS about this job, is that the week a month I'm in Washington, you know, a couple of days of those may be elsewhere at the East Coast. I certainly don't want to make more than one trip a month to the East Coast. Fortunately, modern communications makes a lot of this possible. That, you know, in the old days when Dan Goshen was editor-in-chief, we didn't have the World Wide Web and efficient Internet communications. So I think he was forced to spend much more time than Don Kennedy has been forced to spend, but I certainly want to start by spending a week a month, because I don't need the 200 staff. It's something like 200 staff altogether at Science Magazine. I only know a few of them, and I'm very much a hands-on people person. I want to meet everybody and get to understand who they are and what they do. So this is going to be a major education, the same way it was for me the first year at the Academy.
How long did you debate over whether to accept the job?
Well, about a month.
A month.
Yes, and I also met twice in Washington. I wasn't actually clear what responsibilities the editor-in-chief had and what opportunities the editor-in-chief had. So those had to be really clarified. And I certainly wasn't clear about how much time was involved and what I really had to do and what was optional.
Is there anything that sticks out in your mind as something you will need to learn, a new skill?
Oh, sure. I don't have to. There's the business side of Science Magazine I have nothing to do with. The thing I really have to learn is, for example, there's the whole news side, Science Magazine, which I really don't even understand how it works or how we can, what's appropriate form of oversight, and what's the appropriate form of steering, and how do we evaluate that? I know how to do the science side, but the news side, it's not familiar to me. But, of course, I've done this kind of thing before, so my natural impulse would be to bring in some experts and have them talk to us, people who haven't been involved with Science Magazine in the past. I'm a big believer in that kind of outreach. In fact, I've already recruited a bunch of outstanding scientists to come and sit down with us for a day about the science side.
I'm wondering, too, if you'd ever thought you would be in the position of being the editor of a journal.
No.
It's not
in fact,
a long
it didn't have any appeal to me when the search firm called me to ask for names. I gave them a lot of names.
No appeal?
It didn't have any appeal to me because I didn't see it the way I see it now, because I didn't really know. I mean, there's obviously a lot of unpleasant parts of this. The editor-in-chief has got to deal with the occasional author who doesn't accept the judgment and wants to appeal and make a big noise about their paper not being accepted. And, that part of the job I accept as necessary, but certainly that's not an attraction of the job. And initially, that kind of thing is what I thought about when thinking about the editor-in-chief position in Science, and also the idea of writing all these editorials. I'd like to write some of them, but I don't want to write 50.
Yeah.